Heavenly Father, thank you for Alex. Thank you for the message that you've placed on his heart this morning. And I just ask that you'll purify our hearts and you will open our hearts so that we can hear the message that he has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All righty, I'm ready. I was born ready, as they say. Okay. As long as it doesn't go to Robin. That's okay. It's a standard joke we have. Psalms 37. If you have a Bible there, just make sure I am preaching the Word of God. I don't go somewhere else. What started out as a casual interest, e-biking, has turned into a full-blown obsession. So there is my bike. It's not Tour de France material. It weighs about 40 kilos. That's without me. And then on top of that, so I've bought this thing to go to school. I actually take this bike to school. I ride every morning, half an hour. They put a bike path on the way to Tonkin Highway, Reed Highway. It takes me about half an hour to go to school. It's awesome. It's fantastic. I average about 35 to 37 kilometers an hour on the bike. I think they were just made it for me because in the mornings and the afternoons, I'm the only one there, a couple of other people. But anyway, as you can see there, that's not the normal seat. I've customized. I bought a Harley Davidson seat from 1950s, and I got a friend from school to put a little springs on there, so I'm just bouncing away there. It's awesome. That little light there, that's an old picture, has been turfed to get a huge honking lantern at the front, like a proverb. So I'm getting it as close to a Harley as I possibly can, as you can see. It started out as a normal bike, but I'm going to eventually upgrade the motor to go a bit faster and so on. And so one particular morning as I was riding to school, I turn into Great Northern Highway. I'm on the bike path, mind you. I'm not on the road. Turned into the bike path, and just as around the corner came about three proper bikies with Harley Davidson bikes, and as I turned around, we actually formed a formation on the way to school. One, two, and I was on the footpath, and the head of HASS, John Myers, was at the front watching this whole thing, and she said, "You look like you were riding with a pack." It was quite funny, the way things kind of work out. And so, just the other day, I was in Gumtree just casually looking at the cost of a Harley, a proper Harley, you know. What's involved. And I came across this one that had actually a hearse sidecar for funerals. You can actually have a funeral business with a Harley. You get buried by a Harley, and so lots of, you know, you can get your just a thought. Anyway, just with a Harley sidecar. And the natural progression, of course, is to join a club in my old age with my Harley. And apparently there is one. It's called the Ulysses Club for old motorcyclists. I don't know if you heard about this. It's named after the Greek hero Ulysses, who basically was growing old but still longed for adventure. And so they call the Ulysses Club. And their motto is very, very interesting. It's G-O-D. Grow old disgracefully. On the back of their jackets, it's this leather jackets, G-O-D, with this old guy with a white beard, G-O-D, grow old disgracefully. And I thought it was at this point my obsession had to stop. I'm not joining a club or anything like that, but I just thought about that statement, growing old disgracefully. Do I want to grow old disgracefully? Is this what I want for my life? Is this what I want on my gravestone? Is this what I want my daughters to remember me for? You know, my funeral day. Dad started out with a casual interest in e-bike, but he joined this and he became the head of the Ulysses Club, and he really grew old. Is this what I want on my gravestone? In the Bible, we've got two men who are growing old. They're a father and they are son. And they had very different conclusions to their lives. The son was Solomon. He had great giftings, he had great opportunities, he had great resources. And at the end of his life, as an old man, he writes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." He had everything, and yet he attributed vanity to everything. In other words, I think he grew old disgracefully. David, the writer of the psalm, he's the father, and I think his words are very, very different to Solomon's. He writes in verse 25, "I have been young, and now that I am old, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." As an old man, his conclusion to life is very, very different. He's a father who grew old gracefully. He understood the grace of God. He is the one that reveals some insights in the text for you and I to grow old gracefully. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning, growing old gracefully. And he begins in verse 1 and 2. I'm just going to go through verses 1 to 7 just to an exposition. In verse 1 and 2, he says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." He begins to say one of these secrets of growing old gracefully is the addressing the issues of fretting and envy. Because fretting and envy begins the cycle to, I think, leads to growing old disgracefully. And this is the age-old battle, the age-old question. Why do bad people prosper? Why do bad people seem to do well? Or why do bad things happen to good people? And it's the primary cause of fretting. What does the word fretting mean? It means to be visibly anxious. The word fret literally means to wear away, to eat away. It's a picture of waves fretting into the land. It's a very, very vivid picture for us this morning, beloved, because this is exactly what happens to us if we do not allow the grace of God to overwhelm us. Things like envy will fret away at our confidence in God. Envy, for example, in Psalm 73, where the writer David says, "I envied the prosperity of the wicked. I envied the people that took shortcuts and they seemed to get away with those." How many understand this morning that life will throw things daily, things at you that will cause you to fret and envy? The price of petrol. I'm glad right now it's $1.02, but there was a time when I had to pay $1.60 for those. As a matter of fact, there's a tremendous amount of fretting and envy that goes between Monday when I forget to put the petrol in and Wednesday when the price goes from $1.02 to $1.45. How can they get away with this? Fretting starts to take place. Like Monday afternoon, oh my goodness, I've got to go because I'm gonna miss out on this discount petrol. The price of milk, interest rates. When your favorite biscuit is taken away and replaced by a Coles equivalent. How could they do this? I was driving to church this morning, and I was at Guildford, and I was on the traffic lights, and the lights turned green, but this guy in front of me let this guy in front of him, just from the railway car park, go in front of him. I thought, fair enough, that's all right. But then he stopped and let this other guy through, and this other, three cars, the lights green, and it happened as I was praying on the way to church. Lord, just bless, let it be a really good service. And I see this guy, and suddenly the prayer changed to fretting. Angry, and I in the middle of my prayer, come on, get on with it. I've got to go to church. You can see how easy fretting takes a hold of our lives. David said, do not fret. Do not envy. You cannot put it any simpler, can you? Don't fret. Stop the thought process that eats away at your soul. Verse 2. He basically says, put life, things, and people in context. Bad things and bad people are only for a season. They're going to wither up. It's going to be only for a season. You think it's going to last forever, but it's only for a season. It's not going to last forever. Put life in context. When the psalmist in Psalm 73 was looking at the envious, of the wicked, he says, I almost slipped. I almost fell for it. Until he says, I went to the house of the Lord and I saw their end. I put their lives in the context of eternity. Sometimes that's all we need, don't we? To stop the fretting, to stop the envy, is to put life in the light of eternity. This light affliction, this thing we call life, this journey, just put it in context. It's only for a season. One day, we're going to be on the other side of eternity. Eternity. And sometimes that's all we need to stop the fretting, to stop the envy. Verse 3. Stop the fretting, stop the envying, and start the trusting cycle. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. You know the great Sermon on the Mount? Think about it. Jesus is going to preach this great sermon. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. They're all in red in your Bible. That's a sermon. It's a recorded sermon of Jesus. Think about it for a moment. An entire chapter, an entire point, three-point sermon, an entire point in that sermon deals with worry, deals with fretting, deals with people that are concerned about what they're going to eat, what they're going to put on. In the conclusion of that chapter 5 and chapter 6, he says, put first the kingdom of heaven. In other words, trust God. Get some spiritual input and do this each day. Sufficient is the evil of today. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Our psalmist, David, says, trust in the Lord, put God first, and do good. This is a motto I've been trying to live by especially focused on this whole year at school, and it's kind of working. It's kind of like taking traction. Just do the best that you can each day. Don't worry about the stuff-ups of yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do the best that you can today. Psalmist also says, dwell in the land. Do you realize that fretting and envy can stop you living? Envy and fretting can stop you living today because there's so much you can do versus what you can't do. You're so concerned about what you can't do versus the opportunities that you have to do good. You know, Adam and Eve were fretting. Think about this. Let's put things in context. Adam and Eve were given absolutely everything by God, and they were fretting over what? One tree, whether they should eat or not. One tree was hindering them dwelling and possessing the entire earth that God gave them. It's crazy, isn't it? And yet we do the same thing ourselves. The one thing that stops us dwelling, living, genuinely living. The psalmist also says, feed on His faithfulness. I love that. I'll say it again. Feed on His faithfulness. You know, there are plenty of things to feed on God's faithfulness. Don't feed on fretting, which is so natural, but feed on His faithfulness. feed on the times when God came through. Do you have a story where God came through when all seemed to be lost? How many people have had that, have got one story? Just one. None of you? How many people got one story where God came through? Well, start with that. And then when you start with that, I can guarantee that God will remind you of another time he came through. And another time. Oh, yeah, then he came through here. Oh, yeah. And you feed on that. And just like fretting causes anxiety and causes you to just wither away your soul, feed on God's faithfulness, and there's plenty of opportunity to do that. Paul in the book of Philippians, that great Philippians chapter 4 text, he says, whatever is what? Noble, whatever is true, right, pure, lovely, admirable, think on these things. And the God of peace will guard your heart. Question is, what do you feed on? What you feed on is what you become. Are you feeding on fretting and envying? Or are you feeding on God's faithfulness? He moves on to verse 4. Talks about desires and delights. We need to have this balance between desires and delights. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That word desire, from the Latin desirare, which literally means the feeling of something missing, or there's the sense of regret, an unsatisfied longing or a craving. That's a strong desire. And can I tell you that nothing feeds fretting and envy more than the desires of your heart? What you don't have, the things that you don't have, will feed the fretting and the envy. How many people wish they had a talent? Things that they don't have. That will feed your fretting and your envy. This is a great cavern that sucks away all your energy. You know, if you're a computer nerd, you know, updates and updates and updates and upgrades and upgrades and upgrades. So you spend more time upgrading than actually doing things. That's what I find things. The point where right now says enough upgrading, enough trying to sort of sort out. I'm just going to use the system that I've got and be happy with it. Same with me bike. How much upgrading do I need? That's it. Just chill out. Just enjoy what you've got right now. You know, this upgrade cycle. From technology to fashion to stuff to positions to places. I need to upgrade where I'm. Stop right now. Your desires can cause the perishable and the temporal things to rule over your lives. Isn't this what the essence of idolatry is all about? When we cause those things to become idols, the idol can promise so much and deliver so little. So the problem with desire is that the heart's involved. The desires of our heart. And the Bible has a lot to say about our heart. Don't listen to the lies that listen to your heart. Your heart will lead you astray. Your heart is full of desires. It is full of evil. It is full of wickedness. Your heart is the source of all kinds of evil. You don't need to listen to your heart. David contrasts desires with delight. The word delight literally means to please greatly, to fulfill, to have a sense of satisfaction and enjoyment. It's totally different to desire, which is totally unsatisfied. Desire says, I want, I want, I want. How much money will make you happy? Just that $1 more. Just one more dollar will make me happy. Versus delight simply says, I am content with the current state that I'm in. Paul said, I've learned to be content, whether it be abased or abound. And that text that we quote all the time, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is in the context of being content. Not, I can do all things to fulfill my desires. It's, I can do all things because I am content in whatever state God's placed me in. And that is the reason why the psalmist is content, because the object of his delight is the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord first. It's what Jesus is saying. Put first the kingdom of heaven. It will stop the worry cycle. It will stop the fretting cycle. Because something happens when you delight yourself in God. You gain perspective. You obtain context to your situation. It removes the fretting. It removes the envy. And all the things you are worried about, Jesus says, will be added to you. Your desires won't overwhelm you. Isn't that the case with Solomon? Solomon had everything. He didn't have just one wife. He had a few wives. He not only wives, because wives weren't satisfying enough, he had some concubines to boot. How many do you need? He wasn't happy with one horse. He had to have thousands of horses because they weren't good enough. Or buildings, or whatever it was. Solomon was never content. He's a picture of unsatisfied desire. At the end of his life, his conclusion was vanity. It's emptiness. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. David delighted himself in the Lord. He had a heart after God. And even when he gave in to his desires, he wasn't perfect. There was time when he gave in to his desires. A prayer of repentance, creating me a clean heart, as we sang that song. And he was restored back into the fellowship with God. Another cause of envy and fretting is to worry about our destiny or our way. Isn't it interesting how those songs kind of lend into what the preaching is? Thanks, Beck. You were listening to God. Verse 5, he says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the new day. We all have our way. A way that we think is going to make it through life. We all carve out our way. But listen to what it says here. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Because let's face it, when you're trying to work out your way and how you're going to navigate through life, it'll cause fretting. It'll cause envy because your way is not the same as the other person next to you who has a bigger house and a faster car and a prettier wife or a husband or whatever. Well, how many know what I'm talking about? Comparing. That person's way seems better than my way, so I'm going to make it bigger and better and faster and stronger. No, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will bring it to pass. That word commit literally means roll off or unload a burden. Some of you might be carrying a burden this morning. And David says, roll that burden off. The best way I can illustrate this is when I go help my wife shopping, like I did on Thursday, and we have about 5 bags of shopping. I know where the heavy ones are, and I know where the light ones are. She takes usually 2 light ones, and my job is to bring the heavy ones. And she always says to me, don't worry, we'll come back for a second run. I'll come back and get the other ones. Just get... No, we don't do that. You take your 2 bags, and I'm going to put as many bags as I can in my hands so I don't have to come back a second way. So I've got this burden upon me. And sometimes I've had, when I had, before they banned the plastic bags, I had about 4 or 5 plastic bags here and 4 or 5 plastic bags here, and my fingers are turning blue because I'm carrying this. And so when I was young, I was able to lift the bags and shut the door at the same time, but now I can't. I've got to put the plastic bags down, and I've got to shut the boot of the car and then carry the, and my fingers are turning blue as I go inside, and I let that go. That's the picture. Roll off the burden because you're carrying too much. Roll off the burden of your way, your path in life. And leave the supreme guidance of your life to Him. I'm talking about every single detail, not just the big decisions. I'm talking about day-to-day decisions. You know, we joke about, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to ask God for what are you going to have for breakfast? Maybe God does need to be involved with what you're eating for breakfast. Maybe you're eating the wrong things. Maybe I'm eating the wrong things. I'm speaking to myself now. Okay. How many people have mocked, you know, let's pray to the Lord of the car park. Why don't you pray to the Lord of the car park to open up a... I was so encouraged by the testimony. He says, you know, whoever it was that was praying about the rain to stop. Thank you, sister. Think about that for a moment. God stopped the weather so our sister can move the furniture and make sure she's dry. That is awesome revelation. I feel the presence of God. That God will stop things. God will stop history for something to happen because somebody's asked for it. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? Do you believe that God can stop time? Well, He did, didn't it? There was a battle involved, right? The sun stopped for an entire day because somebody asked, God, can you please help us? That's the God that we serve. And Jesus, teaching on prayer, says, if a man asks for a fish or bread, have you thought about that? We want to think, God, move upon this nation, change governments, change. No, Jesus brings it down to just praying for fish and bread. That's pretty common, isn't it? Yeah, if He can get your attention for praying for fish and bread, nothing more common or menial than your daily diet. If God can get a hold of your heart for that, He's got your life. He's got your way. Don't worry about the big things. It's the little things. God wants to be involved in your daily gardens. You know, at school, one of my habits is, you know, we live a very, very busy school, lots of things, we've got lots of emails, and one of the habits that I've done right from the beginning when I've joined the school is I never actually respond as much as I can to emails by emails. If a person sends me an email, I'll get up out of my desk and I'll walk to that person and talk to them in person. I used to work at a school where the head of department was sitting here and I was sitting here and he'd send me an email from there to there to get to do something. He was sitting there, I was sitting here and he sent me an email, Alex, can you please do this? That is crazy. So I made a point, you know, as I thought about it, in my way of trying to deal with a certain situation on the other side of the school, rather than write an email, walking, I encounter a kid sitting outside a classroom who's been in trouble, and I'd stop and talk to that kid, and I ended up witnessing to them, and as they've grown up, they kind of like reference, you know, like Christian things. We talk about witnessing, and there's all sorts of things. I've prayed for teachers, I've prayed for this, on the way to dealing with a certain thing, God has put other things in my path where I was able to minister and pray because God opened up the door to use me for His purpose. I began to realize nothing happens by accident. Commit your way unto the Lord. And I love the picture He uses there. In verse 6, He says, He shall bring forth your righteousness, your path, as the light, and your justice as the noonday. I love the picture there because your way Your way is like reaching in the dark. You're in a dark place and you see a little bit of light. You see the light of the moon. You see the light of the stars. I'm going to reach for this. I'm going to reach for these little baubles. And God contrasts that to His way, which when the sun comes out, all those things that you desire are gone, and it's like, oh, it's you. Can you see the picture? When the sun comes out, it illuminates the entire darkness. The solution to your fretting and envy, what could have been, what should have been, is just simply walking daily in what is, and that is the presence of God. God taking care of you every single day and turning it into a glorious destiny, God's way, God's purpose. And finally, David says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. See, resting in God and patiently waiting for Him is the final instruction to stop the fretting and the envy. Very, very simple. Be still and wait patiently. You know, between this being young and growing old is what this thing we called life. And for most of us here, it's like we're on the tail end, aren't we? It's our way. The issue is, do we do it on our own? Do we trust in our own strength, ability, our scheming to make a way for ourselves? And that's what Solomon did. He schemed, he acquired, he got, and the result was to grow old disgracefully. David's way finishes off, brings back that whole fret. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. I love that. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. Full circle. David starts, don't fret because of evildoers. And he says, don't fret when people seem to succeed in their way. Because it seems like, oh, we've got it wrong. We should have done this. We should have done that. No, 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 no. Don't do that. It causes harm. Verse 8. It will eat you up. You will grow old disgracefully. Or do you trust God? Do you do good? Do you dwell in the land? Do you feed on His faithfulness? Do you delight in the Lord? Do you commit your way to the Lord? Do you rest? Do you wait patiently? These are doing words. It's not just like this vacuous existence. You trust, you do good, you dwell, you feed, you delight, you commit, you rest, you wait. And in doing those things, something happens. You grow old gracefully. That's what I want on my gravestone. Smilo grew old gracefully. Verse 25, if you read further down, it's all there for you. Do not, God will not abandon His own. The righteous will not be forsaken. And finally, in verse 25, He concludes, I have been young, I have been old, I've been here, and now I'm here, and my experience in life is that I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That's a powerful picture. We think at the end of our lives we're going to beg for bread. We're going to be... No, that's not the picture. That is not the picture that David writes. And this is the words of a wise father. You know, my daughters were raised in the ministry, raised in the church, and they've, like most pastors' kids, they decide, it's not my way, I don't want this way anymore. And they decide to go their own way, and it's been a bit of a trial, a bit of a hardship trying to sort of get them back. And you know, one of the things I've done is I've stopped preaching to them. You've left the way. You know, all it does is alienate them. So for the last few years, both my daughters, you know, one's just graduating to become a teacher. She's got this gig down in Denmark, becoming an English teacher there. And it was kind of interesting the way we've done this. Is she was applying for different schools. She was applying for her dream schools and did an excellent cover letter and what have you, and got rejection after rejection after rejection. And it's very hard because she's not a Christian. So listen, just trust in God. We're praying for you, we're praying for you. And suddenly, out of the blue, like 2 weeks ago, she's got this, you know, the Denmark were reading her ringing her references, and they basically offered her job last week, and then some other schools were ringing references, and suddenly this avalanche of interest in who she was and what she was doing. And I was right through the way, I was trying to communicate as a father that trust God. Let's see what He will do. She's not acknowledging it yet, but at least she realizes that, you know, there's someone taking care of her. And this was the best job offer out of the whole lot. And she's realizing that. It's not an accident. And I'm praying that this will be a way for her to understand what I'm talking to you about today, to grow old gracefully. Gracefully. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we consider the words, the songs we were singing, the words we have heard, I've been young, and now that I am old, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. That's what I was trying to communicate to my daughter. Listen, he's not going to forget you. You're not going to be stuck in this dead-end job. God's got it under control. I had to speak that as an old man who's been through some things. I know. God, I have not been begging bread. There's been some difficult times, but I haven't had to beg for bread. That's not God's style. God is a provider. Maybe you've been battling. You've been allowing fretting. Fretting literally means to eat away, eating away at your confidence, eating away at your confidence in who God is and what he can do for you. Very, very simple. Very simple this morning. Simple message. Do not fret. Do not envy. Do not compare yourself to anybody else. God has a unique destiny. God has a unique way for you. What He has started, He will finish. You're a work in progress. I don't care what age you are. You're a work in progress. You don't have to fight. You don't have to strive. You don't have to be ambitious. God will unfold His way before you. And I speak that with confidence, just like Paul. I've learned how to be abound, how to abound, and how to be abased. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not talking about desires. I'm not talking about things that you're craving. The balance has to be right. Are you delighting in God first? Are you putting His kingdom first? Are you putting God first? Because that's like the sun. It takes away all those little bubbles that you're striving for. Walk in the light. Walk in the noonday sun. It's as clear as day. If I can inspire some confidence in you today, if I can simply inspire some confidence through this word, my job is done. Let's just pray. Let's just pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, we come to You this morning and we bring our way. Forgive our striving. Forgive our fretting. Forgive our envying. You have a unique destiny for each one of us. As we are unique in Your image, You've created a unique destiny. We don't need to compare with anybody else. Every one of us has a lane to run with. I just pray right now that we will take comfort from these words, from the words of David, not to fret, not to envy, but put our trust in you, to rest in you, to do good, to dwell, to actually live, to live today, not to worry about the past or the future, to feed on your faithfulness, to delight in you, to commit our way to you, to rest and to wait patiently. And in doing so, I just pray right now that every one of us will grow old gracefully with the knowledge that you are present every step of the way. We can ask you for anything and you will hear us. We can ask for fish, we can ask for bread, we can ask for daily provisions and you will hear us, Lord. Nothing is too small for us to ask. We can ask for the rain to stop. We can ask for a car park in a busy shopping center. We can ask for our provision. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, both now and in the future. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.